Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. Hey, guys. Happy podcast day. Here we are. How are you? How are you on your beautiful walk or in your car ride to work or laying in your bed or having me in your ears as you make your kids' lunches? How's it going? I'm doing pretty good. You know, just left foot, right foot, breathe. How else are we to get through life? Quick reminder that there is no other way out than through. So if you are going through something and you're like, shit, I don't want to be going through this. Okay. That is an important feeling to express to people that will listen to you and to your journal speak and to your therapist and to your post on my journal speak page on Facebook. However, as Winston Churchill said, when you're going through hell, keep going. As Georgia and Karen say on My Favorite Murder, this is terrible. Keep going. The only way we ever get through anything is to go through it. And so we're going through it, guys. No matter where this finds you, you are going through it. You are living on this planet. And so that means you are enduring a global pandemic. And so I hope that wherever that pandemic finds you, either locked in or set free, you can find some peace with me, with all of us today. So here we are. So today we're going to talk about an incredibly important topic, which is the imperative of self-care and what it means to get our own needs met and how that changes our relationship with the entire world, our families, our work relationships, ourselves, our relationship with ourselves. So that is an important topic beyond. And so we're going to get all into that deeply very soon. Updates in terms of housekeeping. I am deep into creating my next online course, which is going to be called Freedom from an Anxious Life. It's going so well. I am so inspired. I feel great about the information that is coming to me when I tap into my deepest truth about what I need to teach to you guys, what it means to enlist all your skills and tools regarding the mind-body connection and how it can really help you. So definitely very excited to share that. If you're not following me on Instagram, please go over to Instagram and follow me at Nicole Sachs LCSW because I'm engaging the community right now in a conversation about anxiety and in a conversation about how you can share with me your struggles with anxiety so I know that everyone's concerns are addressed in this course. Because I'm really sort of in the final stages of planning and I'm pretty much going to produce the course over the next few weeks. So as I produce it, I need your input because I need to make sure I'm not leaving any important topic, anything like that, out of the dialogue. So join me. Instagram is the easiest place to have that conversation in response to my posts. Okay, so one thing I want to share with you today, if you haven't heard me talk about it, is the Curable app. So if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you hear me talk about it often. You hear me say that I can't do this alone. I am a single person walking the earth. And what an incredible thing that Curable came together and created an app for chronic pain relief. So, used by more than 100,000 people around the world, Curable is the first and only app I know of to deliver evidence-based methods for chronic pain self-care. Remember that there are three facets to my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And in the believe, under the believe umbrella, you basically really need to bring your conscious brain to understanding that your pain, although you thought it was a result of a physical defect or something wrong with you that was broken, needed to be fixed, is not that. It is simply a misunderstanding between your brain and your nervous system and your physical body on how to keep you safe. And Curable does a really amazing job in really outlining the brain science of it all. And it's not, this is not therapy talk. This is literally concrete brain science. And Curable does it, it's a wonderful partner for me in explaining that brain science and guiding you guys through easy to understand pain science education, hundreds of exercises designed to break the pain cycle. So important, so powerful alongside your journal speak. Over 70% of Curable users, they write back to them and they explain, they take surveys and they explain that they're experiencing physical pain relief after only 30 days of use. And nearly 80% of them report a higher quality of life. So this is really great. It's really important. They have a supportive online community exclusive to Curable users. So people feel less alone. They're connected on their healing journey. They offer this thing called Curable Groups, which is a 12-week healing boot camp. So every so often they'll announce this and you can join these Curable Groups. Experts come. Dr. John Strax, whom I respect highly and work with, is one of the contributors to that. And it's just a wonderful app, and it's at your fingertips. You know, you can have it on your device. You can use it at your own pace. It's really great. So, Curable's offering our community, the Cure for Chronic Pain community, 50% off your annual membership. And that is a really great deal. So go to getcurable.com/Nicole. That's getcurable.com/NICOLE, and you will get 50% off your annual membership. It is a wonderful deal, and I hope you take advantage of it. Okay. What else do we need to talk about? Well, let's do Blue Dog update. Here's the deal with the Blue Dog. His cruciate, his knee is just not improving, so we have scheduled the surgery. The full knee, I was about to say replacement, but I don't think they replace it. It's just the ACL, the reconstructive. He is being reconstructed from the ground floor on November 11th. Now, not going to lie, when the scheduler called me from the hospital and offered me November 11th, I was like, yes, 11-11, let's do it. Because I am not free of superstition, and I like the fact that it's 11-11, because that's an important number in my life. Just to get super weird for one moment, my father was born on January 11th, so that's 1-11, and he died on November 1st, which is 11-1, and I didn't even realize that until years later, and I know 11-11 is a number that, you know, some people probably adopt, some people feel really spiritually connected to. It's not actually my full spiritual number. My number is 44, but I realized that over the years that, you know, it's just a really, it's got a good energy, that number. So Blue Dog is being operated on November 11th, 11-11. And, you know, good news, we got him groomed. There was a little bit of grooming tension because it's hard to groom a dog with a bad knee. It's also hard to groom this dog. Jesus, we had a mobile groomer come in and he just pooped all over the place. He pooped and pooped, and then she like gave up and brought him in. And like the poor guy, he was scared. But anyway, he's been groomed. Thank you to Mary's Comfy Pet in Lewis, Delaware. And he is now, he's chilling. Chilling like a big dog waiting for his surgery. So thank you so much for everybody who writes to me and is concerned about him and is lovely and sends their best energy toward my baby. He's such a good boy and he's so sensitive and tapped in. Sometimes it feels especially unkind to think do things like groom him and make him have surgery because he gets so confused and he's so upset about things. But that's really the reason that he's such a good buddy, because he's so soulful and he's so in it with me. So anyway, thank you for your caring and your love. And he's on the road to recovery. I'm sure I'll be checking back with you as we go through the grueling rehab that has to go along with getting your ACL repaired. Apparently, there's going to be all sorts of physical therapy, aqua therapy. My goodness, what they do for dogs. So that's happening. That's probably all we need to do about my personal life. It's enough, right? You guys had enough. So I hope this finds you well. I hope that this finds you well, and I hope that you are doing your very best to be positive. We are coming up on an American election in a few days when this podcast airs. I wish you to go into this monumental time in our lives with tremendous love in your heart for those who disagree with you. Because we are people here, and when we hurt the same. When we hurt physically, we hurt the same. When we hurt emotionally, we hurt the same. And when we hurt because we feel angry, we feel deprived, and we feel like we're not going to get what's coming to us or we're going to lose what we have, we go into our lowest form of protective functioning, our sort of low vibe way of interacting with the world, which is often to blame, to accuse, to look at the other side of the aisle and say, you're the reason for my bad life. And guys, whomever wins this election, whether it be Biden or Trump, I'm going to tell you guys, it is our responsibility to overcome our desire to point the finger and to hate. Because there's going to be a certain percentage of the population that's disappointed when this all shakes out. And, you know, maybe me, maybe the person who wants the other guy, it really actually doesn't matter. In the end, our government is not going to be the one who improves our lives. That's up to us. This is your life. No matter who wins the White House and how you feel about it, it is your job, your responsibility, and your privilege to own what is your attitude and your joy and your tools that you use to help yourself. And you know, I got to give a shout out to my mom, because recently I encountered a situation with someone who disagreed with me, not to my face, but I, you know, came into the understanding how deeply this person disagreed with some of my values. And I toyed with, or at least I paused in the idea, like, maybe I don't want to interact with that person anymore. And my mom said to me, Nicole, the whole point of this is everyone who is pointing the finger, if we're ever going to become more unified and not have hate and not have civil war, you know, if we're going to become what we seek to become, we all have to do it. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose. You know, you want the other side to do it. You have to do it too. She said, don't you dare walk away from that person. Even if you think that their opinion offends you, like because it maybe affects what would happen in your life in terms of my freedoms or whatever. And it was great. It was a really great wake up call. And I really hope, I feel like I'm doing a terrible job at this, but I really hope that somehow this comes through, that like, we each need to have our quiet moments where we decide how we're going to act, where we decide the way we're going to bring kindness to other people and the way we're going to show up as our best selves. And it's not going to work unless we all make our best effort to do it. And the time it's the most challenging is when somebody is going to disagree with you, or somebody is going to have, you know, excitement over their guy won and your guy didn't, and all that stuff that is potentially and definitely coming for us as a society. And this just doesn't only apply to the United States, because I know there's ideological differences across the globe. My goodness. Human beings have never been able to all agree, which is normal. And so, you know, I just want to put in a plug for, as we walk this earth, if we can just pause and breathe and come into our most basic humanity, we all love our children. We all value our health. We all honor our own bodies. We all want the best for our futures. We all want the best. And since that is ubiquitous for all people, if we can just try to be gentle with each other, however this goes, that's my wish for us. Okay, moving on. And also it really, it applies very much to the subject matter today. So let's kind of use that as a jumping in point, as a transition to our main subject matter. So I want to read to you a recent post that I posted on my Instagram. So follow me at Nicole Sachs LCSW for all my stuff on Instagram. I wrote, "The reason people are angry at each other is because they're not getting their own needs met." It is such a basic truth for me. We are so triggered by other people and their behavior. And that will always happen. But I guess the goal that I want to talk about today is how can we be less triggered? You know, we can't control other people, as you well know. We talk about that a lot. We can't make other people bend to our will. We can't decide how they're going to act. And there's only so many times we can even correct them without making our lives worse, because they're going to come back at us with resentment, tell us what we're doing wrong, and then we find ourselves in a big argument. And so what it really comes down to is starting to understand how to soothe ourselves almost proactively, you know, soothe ourselves on a regular basis so that when we feel that other people have either fallen short or done us wrong or not showed up for us or not done what they said they're going to do or whatever, we're not so injured. And it might be hard for you to believe. You might think, well, I'm always going to be injured if that person that I'm supposed to trust doesn't do what they say they're going to do. You might think that. You might think you're always going to be equally injured, but I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to speculate that that's not necessarily true. When you are not getting your own needs met, either by your own voice being expressed, and that we can touch on boundaries as well, or because you're not doing what you need to do for yourself based on, let's say, your decision that other people need you to do for them or else they're going to die. You know, the whole world is going to fall apart. The whole family is going to go to shit if you're not there for a day. Stuff like that. If these processes are happening in your life, what you'll be is a person who is angry at other people when they are getting their needs met. So let's take an example, and I'm going to give an example of a married couple, but really this relationship can be kind of copied and pasted into a parent's relationship with a child, a coworker's relationship with another coworker, an employee's relationship with his or her boss, a friend, a best friend, a business partner, whatever relationship you're in. Just apply what I'm saying. I'm just going to use the example of a husband and a wife. So let's pretend that the wife is, you know, responsible for much of the childcare, also working alongside her husband, and also has things that, you know, she obviously would like to do, like, you know, take part in a social event or a hobby or exercise or meditation or whatever it is that would make her happy. Let's just say she's going on with her life and she's got this attitude, which is like, you know, it's first of all, she thinks, even though I could be helped, it is so much easier if I just do this myself, because everything just gets so much more annoying when I have to explain everything to everyone. So I'm just going to do this myself. So that goes on for a while. Now it becomes, if I don't do what I always do for other people, because this all began with me thinking that it's easier if I just do it myself, they're going to be angry at me. They're going to be irritated with me because I always show up and do these things, like make the lunches or drive to school or make the play dates or arrange the volunteer opportunity, whatever it is. So then that happens. And then it becomes, well, if I do step out of this, because I have been doing it for so long, and since people expect me to do this for so long, it's going to fall apart. It's actually not possible for it to carry on without me. And like I said, this could be any relationship. Apply it to work. Apply it to you and your friend and what you guys have agreed to do for one another. And I'm going to get more into the internal dialogue too. So that's happening. Now, alongside that, something else is happening, which is her internal dialogue is not being heard. So when her husband says to her, you know what, I had a really, really annoying day at work, and God, everything is so hard for me. And all she wants to say is, You never ask me about myself. I don't care how hard your day was for one more day. Why do you always live as the victim? If your day is so hard every single day, why aren't you doing something about it? Now, this is journal speak, right? This is not to be screamed at the other person, but it's going on in there. It's going on in there where she's just had it, but she knows she can't control or fix or change this person she's married to. She doesn't want to leave the marriage. It's not like this is like a horrible situation. It's just a lifey situation. It's a human situation, but she doesn't say those things. She doesn't say them in her journal speak either. She just says, la-di-da, what can I do? Go on with my day, busy myself with something. Maybe she engages in some healthy or not healthy numbing exercises, like everything from healthy, which is, you know, watch a little bit of dumb TV or, you know, call a friend or have, you know, a little bit of numbing, like a yummy treat or one glass of wine. But then, of course, the numbing can go all the way to the other spectrum, which is substance abuse, which is numbing out constantly to internet or TV, which is totally avoiding the relationship by only hanging out with, you know, other people and getting all her intimacy there. So there's so many different ways that's happening. So this person, this woman that we're discussing, is thinking, quite frankly, that everything is fine. It's just a regular life. And, you know, what can you do? And, you know, everybody's suffering and throwing up her hands. Well, it's a global pandemic, nothing else to do. You know, everybody's messed up right now. Then there's the place for that. But here is the most important thing I want to say. I'm going to totally repaint this situation for you. Her husband is going to come into the room one night and say, hey, I'm thinking of taking a fishing trip this Sunday afternoon with a friend, which is like a reasonable thing for him to do. He's also working. He's also parenting. He's also living in this life. Fishing is a relatively safe thing to do in a pandemic. He has a friend. And she just feels furious, angry, resentful, hating. Her headache that she's been trying to deal with is just screaming in her head. Her mouth is burning. Her back is hurting. She has indigestion. She has reflux. Why? Yeah, it's, you know, global pandemic. Yeah, it's her husband maybe isn't meeting all her needs, but mostly is she is not meeting her own needs. She's trying to pour from an empty cup, and that doesn't work, and that will never work. And we cannot change global pandemic, and we can't change other people's personalities, and we can't change childcare responsibilities, and we can't change a lot of the shitty details of life. But what can be changed in this scenario that could change everything? It's two factors. The first is the actual life stuff, which is pressing a big fat pause and saying, the way I've been doing things are not working for me. It is not working for me that I'm the only person that can deal with the kids on this, this, and this. It's not working for me that I feel such pressure to that if I draw a boundary with these people, that they're going to resent me and I can't deal with that. It's not working for me that I have put myself in this position to such an extreme that I feel like the whole world is going to crash down if I don't show up. The reason it's not working for me is that those three scenarios leave no space for my self-care, leave no space for me to say to my partner, hey, guess what? I need one afternoon a week where I completely cut out of here. I'm going to go walk on the beach. I'm going to go walk on the trail. I'm going to go walk in Central Park. I'm going to go whatever. I'm going to go sit in my car across town and look at a lake and listen to podcasts. I don't care what it is. One afternoon a week to do what I need makes a difference, makes a huge difference. Drawing boundaries. Okay, so your teenage son comes to you and says, her teenage son comes to you and says, hey, you know how you always do, you know, the driving for this really long lacrosse trip? Okay, so we're going to pick up Tom at, you know, 8, and we're going to pick up Alex at 8:30, and we're going to drive. Okay, well, guess what? I'll do it this week because I know I obligated myself, but next week you're going to need to ask Tom's dad. But Tom's dad works. Tom's dad plays golf. You always... No. Tom's dad will have to not play golf that day because I'm not going to do the driving. I'm starting to create more balance in my life. And you know, the first step in drawing boundaries is to admit that you haven't been drawing boundaries. I think this is what stops a lot of people from drawing boundaries, that is a huge part of self-care, is that when you consider drawing them, you think, but I've really never done this before, and it feels like people will not even know who I am. Yeah, you know, that might be true, actually. So what's really important for you to do as you begin to draw those boundaries and get your own needs met, because we don't want to be an angry person. You don't want to hate your husband because he wants to play golf. That begins by saying, okay, person that I'm drawing a boundary with, I want to acknowledge something. I have not drawn boundaries. That has come out of maybe fear. That's come out of maybe being less awake in the past and feeling like I had to do everything. That has come from maybe getting my needs met in a less evolved way, meaning I used to think if I was everything to everyone, that meant that I was of value. But you know what? I realize that for whatever reason, I'm working on myself, so I'm figuring that stuff out. But for whatever reason, I have not drawn boundaries. I've just said yes to everything and I've just become that person. And I'm realizing it's hurting me because I am feeling angry and resentful. And then that's expressing itself through my headaches and my fibromyalgia and my back pain and my stomach issues and my skin issues and my pelvic pain. I don't want that anymore. And so the first thing I need to do is admit to you and maybe even apologize to you, make amends, that I have used my own personal coping mechanisms, whatever they are, to feel the need to do everything, to be everything. And it was not in my best interest. It was not to my highest good. So I'm going to acknowledge to you right now, this is going to seem strange for me to have to draw these boundaries, but I need to get my own needs met, because drawing boundaries is self-care and drawing boundaries is other care. And understand, guys, I am saying this, but I am not saying that this exact script would be possible. It might sound super, super cringy and also not exactly what you want to say. But I'm doing it in sort of almost a journal speak fashion to really deliver the point that when you express yourself truthfully to someone, they can't really argue with you because you're just telling your truth. And your truth is that you haven't been drawing boundaries because drawing boundaries had not seemed like the safe or pleasant or acceptable or appropriate option for you. It didn't feel safe. But now you're realizing that it's actually the opposite. It's not safe to live without boundaries. That means you have absolutely no protection. Everybody is coming into your space, your emotional space, your physical space, your spiritual space, your all of it. It's being invaded constantly. And why? Because you're allowing it. So one of the most important things about getting our needs met is to draw those boundaries. That begins with saying, hey, guess what? I acknowledge exactly how I've behaved, which is I haven't drawn these boundaries, but now I am. And so then it becomes, how do I draw boundaries with kindness and with compassion for those with whom I need to interact, but also firmly and clearly. So in the situation that I'm discussing with the lacrosse driving, it was just, hey, my son, let's use Oliver, even though that is not a person in my house that plays lacrosse. Oliver, you're going to need to call Tom's dad or Alex's mom or dad or whomever else is in the carpool and find out who can drive next week, okay? Thank you. I love you. I appreciate it. That's it. Boundaries are not complicated. They just require confidence. They require resolve. And they require that you're not going to go back on them. Because the most important thing about boundaries is upholding them. The most important thing. If you draw it once and then 2 weeks later, you just are letting everybody walk all over you again, you're actually worse off than when you began. You have to stand your ground and enforce those boundaries. So that's part of getting your needs met and self-care, because you know, in the scenario that we're talking about, the reason that she's so enraged and it becomes about everything in her marriage just because her husband casually informed her he was going to go play golf is because she's depleted everywhere. One of those places is overcommitting herself. So, and by the way, I'm not talking about any one person, and I'm not just talking about me by any chance, because I'm super boundaried at this point in my life. However, I hear from people constantly. I hear from people all over the map, and they're telling me their stories. And this is just a conglomerate of many people's stories, but I hope you can find yourself in it somewhere. So another thing that is important about getting your own needs met, taking that afternoon to yourself, drawing boundaries around, you know, where you've committed yourself, is your journal speak practice and allowing your voice to be heard. So when your husband is saying, you know, he's going to go play golf and you're feeling this rage, you need to express that. It doesn't mean you hate your husband. It doesn't mean your marriage is over. It doesn't mean you need to leave to be happy at all. I cannot tell you the power of transformation in your body, in your symptoms, and in your ability to welcome the needs of others without anger and resentment when you have your voice in your journal speak practice, because that voice is freaking powerful. That voice is full of emotion. No, I don't care about your day. I don't want to help you. I don't want you to get your needs met. I don't. Why? Because I'm dying over here. These are feelings that are going on in every single one of us, however it applies to your own life. And when you take to the page, when you set your timer for 20 minutes and you close that door and lock it and you say, I'm doing for me. That in itself is a boundary. And you speak your truth into that document that you are just going to delete when it's done. It's just an exercise. You are giving yourself and your family a gift, and your coworkers and your friends and any people that you're interacting with a gift that you have no idea. Because if you sit and rage like that, if you win every argument you ever entered into, if you speak your truth as inappropriate, impolite, as five-year-old as it sounds, I don't want to be a mom anymore. Get me out of this family. Fuck everyone. You do that, what's going to happen is, first of all, you're going to realize that the headaches start going away. You're going to realize your mouth doesn't burn anymore. You've spoken. You've done it. And then your husband's going to walk into the room next week, next month, whenever, and say, hey, I got the opportunity to, go do this fun thing. And you're going to go, yeah, man, that sounds really nice for you. You might not believe it, but I'm telling you that is what is going to happen. And then you're going to come to him a few weeks later and you're going to say, hey, Maggie said that she could, you know, we could go. She's got this good deal on this hotel, you know, or whatever trip. It's going to be the weekend, but, you know, I know it could be hectic. I'll help you plan it. And he'll go, you know what, babe, you deserve that. Do it. We need to stop resenting other people's wins. And the only way we do that is to soothe ourselves, to meet our needs, and to speak our minds in a safe way, which I believe is your journal speak practice. And everything transforms. We are entering into a time in modern history where we are going to need to be very tolerant of other people that are getting their needs met. And the best and most effective way in order for us to not only not carry anger, resentment, and physical symptoms in our bodies, but also to be members of society that are working toward the greater good, is to get our needs met so that we don't have to feel a secret anger and resentment, which we'll hold in our bodies, or even an outward. I can't even freaking look at that person. Her guy won the election and my guy didn't. We don't want that. That doesn't help us. Hey, listen, man, somebody's going to be the president next, or whatever's going on in your country of origin, you know, whatever political shit is going down. Your life isn't going to change the next day. That person's not coming to your life, your door with $1 million check. This is each of our responsibilities to know how we're going to peacefully move on. get on. And it's everything. It's everything down to the smallest moments. The smallest moments of intimacy and connection and love and openness, which really, quite frankly, make our lives, right? It's all those little intimate moments that come together to make a human life. How are we available to those moments? How can they penetrate? How can they become part of our hearts? How can they move into our blood and flow through our veins and make us into the peaceful, joyful people we seek to be? Well, they're only invited in when we invite them, and we can only invite them when our cup is full and when we are getting our own needs met. So when other people whom we're looking to be intimate with and connect with and enjoy, when they move into our space, we don't hate them for breathing. We don't hate them for simply getting their needs met. Have you ever been in a situation where someone else is happy and you're like, oh, I fucking hate you? Yeah, why do you think? You don't really hate happy people. You hate happy people because you're not getting your own needs met. So let's review. How can we get our own needs met? The first thing is to ask for what you need. Step over your fear, guys. I know it's scary to ask for what you need. Do you need an afternoon off? Do you need your partner to just turn off the TV and put down the phone and just listen to you without responding for a few minutes? Do you need your kids to call their friends for homework help because it's 9 o'clock and it's time? I always say to my kids, it's 9 o'clock. I'm done being a mom. I can't be a mom until tomorrow morning. You know, what is it? What is it for you? You can ask for your needs to be met gently and kindly and with love. And quite frankly, especially when it comes to children, what a gift for them to see you asking for your own needs met. What kind of people are we raising if we never ask them to stop stepping all over us? What kind of people are they going to become when others choose to step on them? You know, we're setting an example for our people. So there's that. There is asking for your needs met. The second is drawing boundaries. You can't come in right now. I need a moment. You know, here's some boundary examples of sentences. Thank you for the offer, but I think I'm just going to chill here for the afternoon. You don't have to say yes when people ask you to do something, even if it's supposed to be fun. Here's another one. I know that I had obligated myself to help in the past, but I've decided now I can't do so much. So you're going to need to find someone else to do that task, to do that driving, to bring those supplies to the game. I know I'm always the class mom. You know what? I think I'm actually going to take the semester off from that this year. Maybe you could find someone else to do it. Here's the thing. You know, people will always take advantage of you. And they're not mean people, by the way. They're always going to take advantage of you if you don't draw a boundary because, guys, life is hectic and life is not easy to manage. And so if there's a person who's saying, yeah, sure, I'll do the thing all the time, why wouldn't they just say, oh, Sue's got it. She's always got it. Right, Sue, it's your opportunity, my friend, to tell them Sue doesn't have it this week. And that's boundaries. And you can say it. And if you feel that you are going to be viewed as someone who is betraying maybe the person you were before, you can just say, I know, I've been the class mom for 3 years. I know how crazy this sounds. I'm really working on my self-care. I can't do it this semester. I'm so sorry. Make Karen do it. You know, it's possible. So that's the second part. And the third part, and quite frankly, the most important part, if you're a person here suffering in any sort of chronic pain, condition, symptom, low energy, fatigue, low affect, anxiety, depression, whatever is bringing you to my podcast, you must have your voice and you must have it boldly, full of whatever anger or fear or grief or shame or trauma or whatever it holds. You must have your voice, because when you keep quiet, it banks in your body. It turns your nervous system up, up, up until you are in a sustained state of fight or flight. Your cortisol is flooding and it has no choice but to be felt somewhere. And it's just a crapshoot of where it's going to show up. Sometimes it shows up in all different parts of your body. Sometimes it shows up as anxiety. Sometimes it shows up as, you know, you break out into hives. There's all different ways for it to show up. It's quite frankly immaterial where it shows up. but it will show up if you're not giving it a voice. So, you know, I know that I say a lot in each of these podcasts, and a lot of times I expect or I assume that people have some sense of my work if they're listening. So if you don't, if this is all kind of like, oh, Nicole, this sounds really exciting and interesting. What the hell are you talking about? Just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. I have a resources tab that links to tons of free stuff. If you're interested in diving deeper, I have an online course called Freedom from Chronic Pain. So many different ways to educate yourself. I have a YouTube series called Healing Yourself 1-4 that explains the entire journal speak process and the state of mind. I also have lots of other videos on YouTube. I used to do them a lot before I started this podcast, and I just can't do both. I can't show up here, do all my other stuff, and do the YouTube. I had to draw a boundary for self-care. So I did that. But I do have a lot of banked YouTube videos, a lot of older ones that all the information, it's timeless. It never expires. So that's all available to you. If you need support, please go over to my Facebook group, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. It's a private group. Click to join. The most supportive, loving place you will find on the internet. I say that with absolute certainty. It's incredible there. No hate, no politics. We're there together. We're there to heal. We're there to heal ourselves and each other. It's amazing. Listen to every episode of this podcast. It outlines everything I ever teach and so many beautiful success stories and real-time heals for you to take advantage of. Okay, my friends, my loves, my fellow humans, and in America, my fellow Americans. Guys, let's be strong and let's lead with love. We need it right now. We need it right now. Hand to heart. Eyes closed. I am saying we need it right now. All right. Well, just don't forget, if you do want to take advantage of the amazing Curable app that Curable is offering our community here, 50% off an annual membership, go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, NICOLE. Take advantage of that offer. If you're enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps the podcast get attention. It helps it rise in the ranks, and that means people will find it, which is so important. And I send you big love. I send you big connection, and I thank you so much for being with me, allowing me to share this message of healing. All right, until next time, this is Nicole Sachs, and this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.